Hey, little buddy, want a ride?
Pikachu!
Yeah, whatever!
I'll be right back!
Where can you catch all 150 Pokemon? On your Game Boy, that's where. Pokemon for Game Boy is here. With both packs, you can catch them all. Games and systems sold separately.
Hello, Pokemon fans. Welcome to the very first episode. Not even the first episode. We're going to call this episode zero. Yeah, it's a prequel.
Prequels. Oh boy.
Prequels don't generally go well, but this is a little different. This doesn't involve any senators or midichlorians or anything like that. This is a good.
And our budget's not good enough for CGI.
Yeah, this is a good kind of prequel. This is the very first episode of Pokemon Mind and Body, and I'm one of your. Well, I wouldn't even necessarily say hosts. I'm going to be one of the players. Bobby Fisher, and on the line with me is my other player, Sky Ertl.
That's me. I'm Sky. I'm going to be playing a character named Max Ordia.
Very good. And also on the line with us is our wonderful giant bear of a man DM, Lucas Gates.
Yep. Also known online as GM Starson. And I will be the one inflicting pain, humiliation, and possibly death upon you. We'll see what that happens.
Like, we'll feel it out.
Yeah, like any good DM would.
It is Pokemon, so I have to tone down the humiliation a little, maybe turn up the death a little. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll try not to piss off any Mankeys. You know, I mean, but if they steal our hats, what are we going to do? We have to figure out how to react to that.
You trap him in a ball and you glue it shut and you throw it down a well.
Yeah, never to be seen again. That's probably against some type of Pokemon law.
True, but playing Pokemon Go and that Rattata just won't stay in the ball. You'll find me yelling that at my phone.
Why are you still catching Rattatas?
For XP, mostly.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Or, like, the Pokemon in my area aren't that robust, and I'm just looking to get something for the day so I get the extra boost.
That's fair. I mean, you want to get the top 10% of Rattatas.
That's right.
That's right. Ay-yi-yi. That's what you're looking for. So, we're doing this. We're still in the process of getting everything sort of built for this podcast. So, this isn't an episode where we're actually going to be playing Pokemon United. But this is more of a get-to-know-us sort of session. We're going to sit, and we're going to rap with you young kids, and
all of our chairs are turned backwards so that the youths can relate to us.
We're casual. There's no pressure here, and we're going to rap.
You're making me feel old.
This is a very special episode already on our first episode.
Oh, goodness gracious.
So there are lessons to be learned. And by lessons to be learned, I mean not at all. But we are going to get to know each other. So let's start with Sky, because Lucas and I kind of already know each other. So, Sky, you're a little bit new to our friend group.
Yeah.
Fess up, we know you did it.
How did you get into Pokemon?
I was actually pretty late in the game. I remember it coming out, you know, as a youth and not really having any interest in it. Mm-hmm. And, like, I tried Fire Red, and then, like, the battery in the cartridge shorted out, so I lost everything I did.
Oh,
no. Whatever. And I was borrowing the game, too, from somebody, so I was this broke. I'm sorry.
Oh, so that's awful.
No.
And then I didn't come back to it till Pokemon Yellow. And then I was kind of just... You know, I watched a little bit of the anime, but I didn't really care for it. Mm-hmm. And eventually,
you mean that stellar voice acting didn't win you over?
Well, you know what, the lady what did the voice of Ash also did the voice of April O'Neil in the 80s cartoon.
Veronica Taylor? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. I did not know that. That is
I'm full of little
online.
Tidbits like that.
The 80s to 90s to, heck, even to modern, voice actor scene is very incestuous, too.
I've never heard it described that way, but you're not wrong. Like, Tress MacNeille is all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, Tress MacNeille, Cree Summer, I mean, you know, I'm blanking
Terry
on his...
Strong.
Yeah.
Royce LaMarche, Rob Paulsen.
I'm blanking on his name. Who's the most famous voice actor? Frank Welker. That's who I'm thinking of.
I was going to say Mel Blanc.
Well, Mel Blanc also. But, I mean, Mel Blanc wasn't... I mean, Mel Blanc is arguably the most famous voice actor, but he wasn't a huge guy in the 80s and 90s, really, because Looney Tunes weren't... I mean, all the Looney Tunes had already been made.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, so you were saying, Sky, sorry, distractions.
No, it's okay.
I imagine that's going to happen a lot.
This is what this episode is for, is tangents and trivia and, as I said, getting to know each other.
That's right.
Yeah, it will also be a lot of me starting to get in my groove of going, hey, players, on task, on task.
That sounds fair. I kind of backed away from it for a while, and I eventually picked up a secondhand Pokemon Platinum.
Mm-hmm.
And played it through where I fell in love with Luxray and the Shinx line in general. They are my favorite. I enjoyed my Chimchar. He was fine. But, like, that Luxray really got me through that region. She was my workhorse. At that time, like, I had just finished up Platinum, and then Soul Silver came out, so I started playing that. And then I have a little bit of an Adams complex.
Okay.
And I'm neurotic, so I found that organizing and capturing every single Pokemon would help keep my brain in check, more or less.
Aww.
So I started obsessively organizing them and collecting them until I ran out of Pokemon that I could collect, because there's only, like, at that time, they didn't have any additional events to get the legendaries that were hanging out, you know. But luckily, over the last year, I think, what was it, 16, I think they released one in Legendary a month for a year, which was pretty nice of them. So I'm pretty much caught up. I've got basically all I need. I think there's only a couple missing from my decks. So, but after Soul Silver came out, I've picked up each generation as it came out, and I really, really enjoyed... what is it? Bloody hell. It's I really enjoyed Sun and Moon a lot, even though it was kind of unfinished. But the Pokemon there were really fun, and it was the first time in all the games that I played where there were more than, like, 3 bugs on my team, and that's never happened.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a Cutiefly, I had... I don't remember what it's actually... Or Arachnoid or something. I named him... Scabba, which was self-contained above-water breathing apparatus. I don't remember what his actual name is.
I know who you're talking about.
Beautiful.
Yeah, he's got a bubble on his head.
So do you prefer to, like, main electric-type Pokemon, then?
I definitely always try to keep an electric-type on hand, because their paralyzing ability always makes it easier to catch Pokemon. So I always find an affinity for the electric-types.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep, because it's still there, I keep a running list of all my favorite Pokemon, and I looked through it, and weirdly enough, the most common one was Steel, which I did not expect, because,
Interesting.
I love Honedge, but I like it because he's a sword and a ghost, not because he's Steel. Same deal with Aggron and Aaron. They're just, like, Aaron's just an adorable football made of metal, and...
It's a little steel football, vertically.
It's got those bright blue eyes.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
Yeah, vertically attached to a horizontal little steel football.
That's right. And Aggron's just a steel Triceratops, and that's rad. I assumed it would be ghost or electric, but apparently my favorite type is steel. Live and learn, man.
Definitely interesting. I'm a sucker for fighting types, and I'll be upfront about that. and no one who knows me was surprised.
Yeah, no, not surprised. Yeah, I can 100% say I would not be surprised by that. So, I guess my next question here, Sky, would be, what would your proudest Pokemon accomplishment be? If you had to pick one, whether it's, say, for example, in a tabletop United game like what we're planning on doing here, or just in the video games or anime or whatever Pokemon related that you could quantify as your proudest accomplishment, what would it be?
There was one time I was involved in a trivia. It was nerd trivia.
Okay.
And
sure.
I'm already liking this story.
It was put on by the local comic shop for me, because I lived like 10 miles away at the time. It was, or more than that, probably like 20. Anyway, my buddy Jake fancies himself the Nick Fury of our group, where he knows who he needs to just demolish a trivia night. Mm-hmm. And rightfully so. We were there and we were up by probably like 50 points. And then there was a question that came up of, can you name all of the Pokemon types? And everybody just looked at me. I was like, just give me the paper. And I just started writing them all down.
Very nice.
I forgot Fairy because it had just been introduced like a year before. So I kicked myself for that. But I was able to name all of them aside from Fairy.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty impressive.
I don't know if that's the right words for it, but it was a fun time.
No, I think impressive is absolutely the right word for it.
Okay, fair enough.
I guess one of my other questions would be, so, you know, you've been playing the games for a little while. Have you encountered any shinies out in the wild that you were able to catch or that got away that you really enjoyed?
I assume we are not including the red Gyarados from Soul Silver.
I feel like that's a
default.
Because
everybody
yeah.
has it, yeah.
Yeah.
I have, in the Pokemon games themselves, I have encountered one shiny, and okay. It was an Oddish, which made me pretty sad because I don't particularly care for that line, but that's fine. I did actually, I did win the lottery in that I caught a wild Jinx that was infected with the Pokevirus.
The Pokerus, okay.
Yeah. And the odds on catching one of those are about as this. I think they're pretty similar to catching or to finding a shiny. Though in Pokemon Go, I do have a shiny Swablu,
mm-hmm.
which I like. He's all golden. He's adorable. It's a golden lined cloud.
Now, did you get the shiny Swablu like out in the wild, or was that through breeding or trading?
Oh, no, it was in Pokemon Go.
Oh, it was in Pokemon Go. I haven't caught any shinies in Pokemon Go.
Yeah, it was the only one I saw, so I'm real glad I was able to catch it. I did, after I beat Sun and Moon and I got the shiny charm, mm-hmm. I started just mass-producing eggs for Shinx because I wanted to get a shiny Shinx.
Yeah.
I was able to pull that off, but only because I had the shiny charm and I was using... the method of using a Ditto from a different region and so on. So you really gotta beat the odds on those.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's just a couple months just right down the drain is what that is. That's a lot of time. No, yeah. I can appreciate it though. I guess my next question would be. So we're getting ready to do this Pokemon United podcast, and the whole goal, everybody, what we're going to be doing here is when we actually record again, the goal is we're going to actually sit down and role play and do sessions of the Pokemon Tabletop United game. We're going to be doing an all original region. We're going to try to keep some spoilers and mystery here, of course. We're not going to just tell you everything that's going to happen or anything.
Dun, dun, dun.
So I guess my next question here with regards to Pokemon Sky, where do you fall on the use of something, at least as far as the video games go, something like the action replays?
Ooh, are we sure we want to go to the flame war question right off the bat?
Oh, I'm happy to discuss this.
Replays. I'm not super familiar with that, honestly.
Okay. Do you remember the Game Sharks?
I do.
basically those.
Oh, okay. I mean, I never used it because it was like, it'll corrupt your game. And I was like, I have too much crap on here to do that.
There's too great a risk.
Didn't seem, it wasn't worth the risk. That's exactly correct. I mean, you can do what you want.
Okay.
I don't care either one way. As long as you're not giving me corrupted data, I don't care.
Okay. Okay, very cool. So what other kind of nerdy stuff are you into? Like, let's kind of dive into that. Let's get to know each other real well. Like, what?
That is, it's such a loaded question.
That is.
Well, I would be lying if I didn't say I spend most of my day thinking about superpowers and how great they would be, and lamenting the fact that we're trapped in this stupid universe instead of the cool one that has all that sort of thing.
Okay, that's fair. That just sounds normal. I don't. That's not even really answering the question, Sky. Jeez. No, I'm kidding.
That's fair.
Well, let's flip it back on you, Bobby, then. You okay. Want to give us an answer to that?
What other kind of nerdy stuff I'm into?
Yeah.
Oh,
we've been grilling Sky like he's on, you know, like he's getting the third degree. Let's hear from some from you.
Yeah, we have been grilling Sky like he's a steak on a warm summer day. Let's
now I'm hungry.
let's talk about me. So, as far as other nerdy stuff I'm into, anybody who's listening to this who knows me through any of the other projects that I do knows that I'm into professional wrestling. Comics.
Pretty nerdy.
It's really, really heckin' nerdy.
You know, for a while, like, I was part of that group where it's like, oh, it's fake. But then, like, I don't know, like 10 years ago, I was like, you know what? All fiction is fake, so I don't know why I'm so mad at this one thing.
Yeah, and...
And then I just kind of, like, it's not for me, and I think that was probably a big part of it. But, like, I don't know why I was supposed to be mad, because like the thing you like because you like it. I don't care. Yeah. It doesn't bother me.
And I'll tell you something, Sky. If you like superpowers and you like Japanese stuff like Power Rangers and corny 60s live-action superhero stuff like the 60s Batman show, if you haven't checked it out, you should really check out Chikara.
I have heard nothing but good things, and honestly, it does sound pretty interesting, to say the least.
I will provide a cheap plug here to Chikara. They have their own streaming service, Chikaratopia. It's best enjoyed on a Roku if you have one. And it's like $7.99 a month, but it gives you access to most wrestling promotions, especially like the big one, like the WWE, right? They go year round. Chikara doesn't do that. They actually break things down into seasons. And so I think they're gearing up for season 19.
Jeez.
And I mean, any season that you start, like if you say, for example, go back and start on like season 18, like if you just start there, that's at the beginning of every season is a great jumping on point. You can always go back though, and I mean everything that they do is just, it's wrestling, but it's caked in just so many layers of nerdiness.
So what you're saying is it has a fine layer of cheese.
Absolutely. They have it, like one of their centerpieces is a wrestler by the name of Ophidian. And he's got this whole, like, Egyptian King Cobra kind of gimmick. And he actually, he has superpowers. He hypnotizes his opponents into breakdancing.
Of course.
Oh, boy.
What else would he do?
And it's amazing.
Makes perfect sense.
Yes. So, like, I'm into Chikara and wrestling and comics. Between hosting Wrestling Time Machine, where we go back and watch all this really old, like, 90s professional wrestling. I host Nerdfic Strangers, where we talk about comics, and we help out burgeoning creators. You know, we have them on, and we talk about things like their Kickstarter projects, or whatever it is they're working on, and we try to help get the word out about that sort of thing. And we talk bad movies, because bad movies are great. Look, I have...
I will respectfully disagree with you there.
Well, Flash Gordon is one of the greatest movies ever made. And I will fight anyone who says different. Brian,
the soundtrack's solid.
Yeah.
First of all, I will remind you who you're speaking to, and then are you sure you want to go with that particular phrasing?
Oh, absolutely. Brian Blessed
okay,
is a national...
Okay,
Brian Blessed
sure you're
is
sincere,
a...
that devotion.
Yes, Brian Blessed is a national treasure. Not one of ours, but still a national treasure. Okay? So, you know, we talk about that sort of thing on Nerdfic Strangers, and I'm just into, like, really bad movies, bad, like, comics, Power Rangers, all of that good stuff. And I am also, between undertaking all of this, I'm also working on my own comics.
Nice.
As a writer. And as far as, like, how, you know, kind of getting back to one of the original questions we asked here, how I got into Pokemon... I actually remember some of the very first ads for Pokemon, like, in the comics,
mm-hmm.
where it's just, like, a big splash page, and, you know, it's just like, I don't know what these things are. What are these things? These are just, that's
they're
a bee.
They're castle monsters.
Yeah, there's a bee. I'm allergic to bees. Why would I want to play that? That looks awful. Right?
Yeah.
And...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I had no idea what it was. I remember some of the first TV spots with, like, the school bus.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... I remember that, and I remember seeing that, and still having no idea what it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then my cousin, two of my cousins actually, really got into the anime, and this was all happening, like, before the games came out.
Right, because it took forever for them to import it.
Yeah. So the anime is playing, and they're getting really into it, and I think one of the very first episodes I watched was the Charmander episode.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
It is. Charmander! Charmander's obnoxious British trainer.
Yeah, I want to punch that dude in the face.
Everybody wants to punch that dude in the face. So, Charmander very quickly became my go-to starter. Like, no, Gary, you're a jerk. And you're going to pick the type advantage. You're going to go with Blastoise. And I'm never going to be able to beat you in the Elite Four. It's awful. I'm only 9. I still don't know how type advantages work yet.
Oh, man. I remember that when I finally got through the Elite Four, I was like, yes, I did it. And then there was another guy, and I was furious, and then I lost.
Right?
Everybody's just barely – I have 3 Pokemon left, and they're barely hanging on. And then there's another guy. A whole nother guy.
I always had a bit of a problem with over-leveling, so that did not become a problem for me, but not probably for a good reason.
Well, it wasn't a problem for me once, you know, once it came out that, oh, hey, you can duplicate as many rare candies as you'll ever need.
Yeah, didn't even need that. I just sort of waltzed in with my way over-leveled Blastoise and went, oh, hey, my guy is level 100.
This is awkward. Because,
and he's my favorite, and I love him because he's a turtle. And my turtle is now going to stomp your face.
Yeah.
That's kind of what Blastoise is for, yeah.
I'm a little mad at you, Lucas.
Because
I couldn't ever get to that point with just, like, hardcore leveling. Like, nope.
I was just literally running around, and I'm like, ooh, another battle! Ooh, another battle! And, yeah, I was an easily amused child.
So I remember seeing the ads and kind of absorbing everything about Pokemon through just sort of the pulp culture that was a part of my life at that point. And then the games finally came out, and of course this was like a hot ticket item. It came out, I think, during that holiday season. And my parents, being the amazing parents that they are, got me a Game Boy. Game Boy Pocket, I think. I think it was blue. And Pokemon Red.
Nice.
Yeah. And boy, howdy, did I love that game. Right up until I accidentally dropped that Game Boy Pocket in the toilet.
Oh, no. Oh, buddy.
That was okay. That was a good pretext to get a Game Boy Color. Lime green. And then eventually Pokemon Gold. I think I wound up having Gold, Silver, and Crystal all at one point. I had... It wasn't an Action Replay or a Game Shark, but it was some sort of, like, cheating device designed specifically for Pokemon. And I gave my copy of Crystal, like, just the worst kind of corruption. Like, it was unplayable after... because I just kept going in and rewriting everything. So it's sort of just like a blank VHS tape at some point where it's just like, nope, you've already... there's no going back. This is... we can't do this no more. It's like if you took a magnet to a floppy disk. Like, it's just... it's done. That's it. Bury it.
That sucks.
Yeah. Eventually, I did get a Game Boy Advance and got Ruby and Sapphire, and I remember how excited I was. I was all pumped for Poochyena. Poochyena is a line I fell in love with pretty early. But as I started playing Ruby and Sapphire, and I started seeing Pokemon like... I can't remember the bird. What was the bird in that generation?
Talo.
I remember...
Yeah, Redhead?
Yeah. It was Talo. I was at this age where it was like, I see Talo, and I'm like, what's this? What is this? This is garbage. Why? They're just... Game Freak is just ripping themselves off. They're unoriginal.
So what you're saying is you were a baby edgelord.
Yeah, I was. I didn't know any better. I didn't know well enough to realize, oh, this is a pattern. This is how, you know, they're doing things. This is... yeah, it was Talo.
This was on purpose.
Yeah. I didn't understand that, being at the tender age of probably 13 or 14. So I kind of fell out of it for a while. And a couple years ago, probably about... wow, I can't believe it's already been 9 or 10 years almost. I know. I'm almost 30, everybody. That's gross.
No, don't remind me.
I'm 32, and it sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up, old man.
Hey, you listen to your elders.
Yeah. Look, if Sky can go to the trouble of sitting down in a chair backwards, which is hard, it is hard on our backs, everybody, then you can respect him. So, yeah, it's probably been about 9 or 10 years. Me and a friend of mine at the time, shout out to Jason Lashinsky, if he's listening to this, we had decided to get an apartment together. This was going to be my first apartment. He and his mom had been close friends of the family for a long time, and they had just moved to Ohio, so, you know, we figured this was good for both of us, right? So we get an apartment. And Jason's, like, into Pokemon. I mean, he's super into Legend of Zelda, but he was also into Pokemon. And I'm like, hey, you know, I thought Pokemon was... that's still a thing? He's like, yeah. This is... I think it was probably Platinum. And he let me kind of watch him play a little bit, and I was like, maybe I need to get back into some Pokemans. And while I was waiting on Black and White to come out, because this was right around that time, I believe, I sat down and got back into it. I started playing a ROM because I didn't have a Game Boy or anything, right? I started playing a ROM of Pokemon Platinum on an emulator on my PC, and I really liked it. If you ask me what happened in that game, beyond the Distortion World and Giratina, I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Because Pokemon's story has always been its strongest point.
That is a solid...
It's all airtight and not confusing in any way.
Not at all. It's a solid, concrete narrative. Yes. Built on a foundation of hay. So... I got back into it, and I played through, I think it was Black, and then when Game Freak was like, yeah, so you guys like Black and White? Yeah? I bet you think we're going to make Gray now. Well, that's the next logical. Black 2, White 2. Bam, 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 mic drop.
Buy two more, bitches.
Yeah, here it is. And so I think I played through White 2. Never really completed it. I don't remember.
It's very similar.
Yeah, it's the one thing I did like about Black 2 and White 2 was sort of the game sync feature.
Oh
where,
yeah.
Where you got like, the short cutscenes and the memories.
Yeah. What I really liked is that before I got a 3DS, I had the regular dual screen gaming system where you could plug an old cartridge into it.
Mm-hmm.
So you could transfer, like, I was able to transfer my stuff from Emerald into whatever the game. It was probably Platinum or Soul Silver. But you had to play a stupid little mini game to do it, and it was always terrible at. And then transferring from there into the next games. Pokemon Bank is just the best.
It is.
Can
thank
we
you
all
so
just,
much for doing
just
that.
Unanimously thank them for Pokebank?
It's so much easier. And faster. Like, when Ultra Sun came out, I could just put, you know, 700 Pokemon directly into my decks and not have to worry about it.
I feel like if they wanted to, Nintendo and Game Freak could bring about world peace.
Dude, they almost did. When Pokemon Go came out, everybody was out talking to people. Like,
that was the closest
they other
ever got.
Sports and birds running around. Yeah. It was amazing. And then, I walked out. I lived at the time. I lived down the street from a Christian college, and there's a lot of Pokestops there. So I was just walking around collecting Pokemon, and it was before they fixed the radar or whatever. And I ran across a seal, and I caught it. And then I went towards the courtyard, and everybody's like, "There's a seal somewhere," and I don't know. And I was able to tell them. And there's just a bunch of kids that thanked me as they ran past. It was kind of magical, and exactly what the Pokemon world would have been like.
It really, I feel like as soon as Pokemon Go came out, so much of my life had been justified in a really weird way because it was like, it's all real now. You don't understand.
They were always here. We can just see them now.
It's all real, right?
I'm really, really glad Mr. Mime was confined to Europe, though, so he was not here. Makes me feel very safe.
You don't want Mr. Mime's special fingers?
I just don't want it in my house or anywhere near me.
Look, I don't have a problem with Mr. Mime in theory, but I do really like Mime Jr.
There's a weird line to be drawn between when it's okay to catch a Pokemon when it's shaped like a person. Because, let's be real, Mr. Mime just looks like a little bit thinner Danny DeVito. If you throw some glasses on there, it's Danny DeVito in my head.
Yeah.
No, he's Detective Pikachu.
No, isn't that Will Ferrell?
Ryan Who's Reynolds.
Playing? I can't remember who the actual person is.
It's Ryan Reynolds.
I was very wrong. But I don't know. There's like, with the more human they are, the creepier it is that you're keeping them trapped in a ball and making them do stuff for you. I don't know.
I guess it doesn't really bother me. Just because, I also grew up sort of, congruently with Digimon. And
yeah.
Look at how...
Great talk.
Yeah, look at how many of those creatures in Digimon are, they're just people. Like, Angemon, yeah. Angewoman.
Yeah, but like, they're making choices on their own. They're not being directed by the kids like they are in Pokemon.
To an extent.
I mean, yeah, they're loyal to a fault, obviously, but yeah. they're still making the choice, and they're defending their buddy.
Yeah.
Whereas you're cramming a Pokemon into a ball, and then it has human-like intelligence, and you're throwing it out, and you're telling it what to do, and then when it's done, you throw it back in a ball.
Look, we can't just start. Yeah, we can't just start pulling bricks out of this, because the whole thing's just going to come crashing down.
That was the whole crux of Black and White, wasn't it? That was that generation where, like, no, they don't keep them in a ball, but then you didn't have the option to keep.
Yeah, it was. I think we all miss walking Pokemon in the games. That's a feature that needs to come back.
I was on the fence with it. I mean, I would like it to be an option, but I don't always want them out.
I mean, there are certain ones that just from a logistic standpoint, it's impossible. Like, you can't just have a Wailord following you everywhere.
But I would like that. Like, nothing ominous here. It's just a 60-story building following me around. It's fine.
Yeah, it's cool. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it.
Wailord is definitely one of those, for all of the wonderful things that Nintendo and Game Freak do, understanding of scale is not one of them. And
for the better, I think. It's hilarious what they come up with.
And the sort of the ongoing agreement with all Pokemon fans that there are just some things we don't get into because it will crumble so fast if we actually try and think about it.
That's right.
You mean like how Slagooma is the temperature of the sun and would ignite the atmosphere on Earth?
Yeah,
don't think about that. It's fine.
It's fine.
How I'm pretty sure, like, Machamp's fists are a sonic boom every time he throws a punch.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's why there's no glass in any window in the Pokemon world.
Yeah.
Clearly that is the answer.
Well, I mean, you got all kinds of crazy monsters going around. I would be shocked to find anything standing at any point in time.
Well, think about it this way. You live in a world where you have something like Machamp that could shatter a window just by throwing a punch, right? In the general vicinity of a window. And then
it sounds a little less impressive that he can break a window with his fist.
Yeah. And then you have something like Slugma, which is the temperature of the sun. So, I mean, you could just, you know, use your Slugma to make glass that's stronger, I guess.
I just always subscribe to the fan theory that since the Pokédex is all is written by 10-year-olds who have been sent out on deadly adventures, that is just little children exaggerating what they found for the record.
I mean, also that
makes a lot of sense too. But yeah. Also, like, is their professor not fact checking any of that? Just going straight
have
to print with
met
it.
Met the professors. I mean, seriously.
I guess
let's go back.
They couldn't be bothered to do it themselves, and they got a 10-year-old that wandered into their lab. Like, yeah, why don't you fill this out for me?
It's like, here, have a deadly weapon. I mean, you know, let's give a 10-year-old a flamethrower or a fire hose worth of pressure, or a tiny dinosaur with a plant on it.
So. Though, I don't know, I think that's a pretty great analog for the State of the Union, as is. Because if everybody has a weapon, then nobody's in any danger.
Except for type advantage. I'm shutting up. That was bad.
Yeah. So, getting back to that. Pokemon.
I'm sorry, I was just about to make a really bad joke, and now I've got to shut up.
You work on that. So, like, like, Black 2 and White 2 was fun, and then I got into X and Y, and that was a literal game changer for me, because there was one thing in all of the Pokemon games that I had played that I'd never been able to do, and that was complete the Pokédex.
Mm.
And with when X and Y came out, I got a copy of both games, because of course, why am I not going to get both copies? Right? That's how you used to have to complete the Pokédex before that was, you know, an option.
Yeah. It's not an accident they released two different games.
Yeah. So I bought both games and I was like, "No, you know what? I'm going to make this happen. And I'm not just going to make this happen. I am going to complete a living Pokédex. One of each and every single Pokemon." So that's why I could relate, Sky, when you said like you had to get super intense about like organizing your Pokemon.
Yes.
So I worked very diligently, like once I got through the main story of X and Y, I worked very diligently on that for the next 2 years. And I'm still working on it more or less, but thanks to Pokemon Bank, it's not something that I have to do over and over.
For $5 a year, man. It's so good. Just spend the. It's so good. Thank you. For making that.
Thank you, Game Freak. Thank you, Nintendo. We are not worthy. We are not worthy of
that
love.
That sounded so bad in comparison to free at first, and then it's like, but wait, it could be a mini game instead.
Yeah.
So, a terrible mini game where you can do 6 at a time instead of 700 at a time.
Yeah. So. I have a lot of weird sort of criteria for my living Pokédex that I'm super anal about, and that's made it very, very hard to complete. And I'll admit, I have used the action replay for a good chunk of it, but that's also the only feasible, reasonable way that I can have every form of Vivillon.
Yeah,
that's fair.
And before Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire came out, also have every legendary. Thankfully.
Yeah, because of the lockouts.
Yeah. Thankfully, the other thing that made this doable was a little website called PokeEdit.com, which with the... are we all familiar with the QR code glitch?
No, I'm not familiar with that one.
Okay, so... right around the time Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire came out, the 3DSs have the camera, and within the camera they have a QR code scanner, right? So what you could do is you would open your game, you would start the game, and you would just go to the home screen. You'd have to make sure that your 3DS browser, that the browsing history was cleared. And what you
that's could, just good practice anyway.
Yeah, good practice anyway. Life hack. and what you could do, you'd make sure the browsing history on the 3DS browser was cleared, and you know the game is still running, kind of, but not really, because you're on the home screen of the 3DS. And you would open the camera, open the QR scanner, and you could scan a QR code for a Pokemon, and it would open the web browser. The web browser would crash, and it was designed to crash, right? And it would inject the Pokemon into, say, like, box one, slot one of your game. And there were also codes for things like, you know, duplicating what was ever in the boxes, that sort of thing. And that became a really good tool for getting this living Pokédex done.
Neat.
Yeah. And then
I'm always amazed at how they figure out this kind of nonsense to get it to work in the first place. Like,
and
who thought, let's find a glitch wherein we purposely crash an internet browser after hacking a QR code? Like, what series of life events led to this discovery?
Well, I think
if you're this skilled technologically, why don't you just write your own Pokemon and put it?
Yeah.
Why are you jumping through these hoops?
Like, I think what it had to do with is it had to do with, because for a while, Nintendo was doing events, the event legendary Pokemon, with the QR codes. And they worked on a similar principle. And so these fake QR codes, these hacked QR codes that you could use, were a really good way to get, say, for example, like some of the event legendaries that they'd done a couple years ago that I had no chance of getting. And, I mean, anybody who looks at them, you know, they would never know that they're not legit. I mean, they have all the proper coding and everything to look legit. They can be stored on PokeBank. They could even probably be used competitively. But just as a general rule, anything that I have that I have hacked, I don't use competitively. And I don't play competitively anyway.
I never really... Too many 12-year-olds who can just stomp you into the dirt.
Yeah, like...
Like, the game really hypes you up. You're like, yeah, I can take on anybody, and then you go play another real person, and they're so much better than you.
There's just... There's so... It, competitive play, for me... It, I mean, if you're into it, that's cool. For me, it's not fun because it's just... There's so much more work involved in competitive play. Like, there's EVs and IVs and moves like Trick Room and Baton Pass, and, like... No, I don't... Those... No.
So, one time, I have never, ever wanted to be competitive because I don't like getting very competitive scenes, period, generally.
Sure.
However, I did, for the lulz, decide to make a purely, ridiculously, perfectly IV-EV-trained team of level 100 all fighting. just to troll a little, and the look on faces when I occasionally won was kind of glorious. Especially when I explained that my strat was I'm a gym leader, a fighting gym leader, and I picked the punchy move. Because these guys design their teams around being able to handle other meta teams. So
yeah.
if someone comes in and they've got a completely random, you know, setup that just does decently and isn't going to be completely washed over, then if they don't have a strat to counter that, they're sunk.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to lose to who they were preparing against, but... It's still funny to watch.
Yeah. So I really have been into Pokemon for the last couple years. I've kind of immersed myself into the anime a lot, going back and rewatching a lot of that. The wife and I watch a couple episodes every weekend, and right now we're still in Johto. But we've watched quite a few of the movies, and those have been... The movies are always fun just because of the Pikachu shorts before the actual movies.
Yeah.
Those are adorable. I have caught quite a few shinies. I think the first shiny I ever caught, again, besides the Lake of Rage Red Gyarados, would be... I think I caught it in a bug-catching contest in Silver. Was
nice.
Yeah, a shiny Pinsir.
Nice.
Yeah, it was. I was pretty proud of that. I was like, "Oh wait, these things are like in the game." Oh man! And
for a long time, I was a shiny hunter. That was fun.
Yeah. Again, that's just saying that you never want to have free time again.
I was gonna say that sounds arduous.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, back when chaining was a thing, it was actually, you know, once you knew what the trick was, it could be a lot of fun just as a time waster. And it was always funny, you know, stepping up to somebody and going, "Hey, I'd love to trade a few. What, you know, I don't have anything that's EV, IV perfect trained, but I do have a natural true shiny." Opens box to box of shinies. Of random Pokemon. It's like, so what you want? I've got like 10 Ponytas. I've got a couple Roselias.
Oh man, the Pokemon is great for wasting time.
It is.
When I had Pokemon Yellow, and that was it. There was one summer where I was just dedicated to getting a Scyther because I really liked Scyther. But the only place I could find it was in the game corner, and I was terrible at the game. So I just sold all of my stuff and just bought the coins that I needed for... It was a very long process. And also, I didn't know where to find Flash. So in the Diglett Cave or whatever, whichever one's the dark one, I was just walk. I just put my hand on the right wall and just walked until I found my way out. It was not fun.
I remember. So the first shiny I caught was my pincer, and then I never caught one for a really long time after that. And then when I started getting into, I think it was black and white, I caught a handful of shinies there. I caught a shiny Liepard, which I was pretty proud of. My whole thing is, like, I generally play with a pretty large team.
You're kidding.
No, I'm really not. Like, my team in Ultra Moon currently is probably a little more than a box. So I play with a pretty large team, which means, like, when I grind, I'm grinding for days. And what I've done now, because I do use an action replay, but I don't use it in the sense like a lot of people would think you use it. Right? Like, I don't use it for, like, oh, infinite rare candies, I'm just going to blow right through this game, right? No, what I use it for is, like, here's a whole bunch of max potions and ethers, so now I can just grind for hours without ever having to go back to the Pokemon Center and risk, resetting my potential for a shiny. And so, playing that way with Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, I've at least managed to garner a shiny Furfrou really early in the game, which was pretty fun. I think I managed a shiny Druddigon and a couple of other shinies that I have just, like, in my Pokemon bank, again, just from grinding through X and Y and Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. And so that's really, I think, all I can say about Pokemon. Lucas, how did you get into Pokemon?
Oh, boy. So, I was the eldest of four, and with a stay-at-home mom and a pastor dad, which meant we moved around a lot in... You've heard of one-stop light towns, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I grew up in one.
Yeah, same here.
I lived in a one-stop sign town.
Oh, so you grew up in West Rushville.
Probably smaller, actually. I like to point out that one of the towns where I lived had a convenience store, a gas station, a feed store, a pizza shop, and a pizza shop and the post office, and it was all the same building.
Oh yeah, that's incredibly convenient.
Yeah, it was the gas station. Literally, they were the old flip counter pumps. So, like, it wasn't like a digital readout. It was the little placards.
So this was just a one-stop shop.
Did it have, like, the gas in a tank on the top so you could look into it, and make sure it was good gas, like in the early 1900s?
I think it did, but I think that broke off at some point.
Ah, bummer.
Because there were the pipes for it, now that I think about it, but there wasn't anything on top, so.
So what you're saying is this was the kind of gas station that Mike Wolf and Frank Fritz would be all over.
Yeah. So
American Pickers references.
Now when I explain the fact that I had a level 100 Blastoise.
Yeah.
Yeah, that tracks.
It makes much more sense when you realize that my nearest neighbor was the cows three blocks worth down.
There's two moons, or there's two suns and no girls. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, it's literally just a case of that. So I got gifted blue. I don't remember how I got it. I had the cool yellow with all the, like, actual Pokemon Game Boy color. And I got blue with it. And I played that to death. And then I kind of fell out of Pokemon for a long while. And I got back in when Sapphire was a thing, because a friend gave me his old copy as a birthday gift.
Boy, do you guys remember when it was a big deal that Pokemon were going to be in color?
No, I wasn't in it at that time. Once I got my Game Boy Color later on in life, Jesus Christ, how old am I? I was like 13 when I got my Game Boy, or no, somewhere around there. It was like 7th grade, but I completely missed it when that switched over, and everybody else was over it by the time I got a Color Pokemon.
Yeah, see, you missed out, Sky. You missed the transition, man.
Yeah.
Because it was a big deal. It's like all your favorites. Chubby Pikachu. He's going to be in color now. And he's going to drop like 20 pounds.
He's hitting the gym. He's getting...
Yeah.
So, anyways, I got Sapphire, and then I stayed pretty with it past that point, and I just enjoy the concept of Pokemon. You take a team, you make some friends, you go kick some butt, you know, slam some gym leader face. And, you know, it spoke to me a little. I don't think I ever completed a Pokedex. Like, I think I once completed the regional one. But I was always more about having my team. So I would inevitably get like my gym leader team for the region, which was whatever fighting type for that gen that I fell in love with. And I'd build up this team and go completely stomp on anybody who stood in my way, just from grinding and playing and getting my moves set up and right. And that's pretty much how it is. Unfortunately, I really lost a lot of my steam when it came to Pokemon. After the one before Sun and Moon, blanking here.
Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire? Or X and Y?
X and Y. So, I had, it was a big, deal. I finally saved up enough. I got a 3DS. I played through the Pokemon. I transferred all of my stuff in, and I was super stoked because I had my team that was my, you know, guys. Cause like I said, I didn't collect the whole team. I had my guys that were my team that I had fallen in love with, and my 3DS and all the games with it got stolen.
That's
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and I can still name off most of the Pokemon that were in that cartridge that are just gone now. And that was just too much of a crushing blow. And I eventually got a new 3DS, and I eventually got Omega Sapphire, was it, or Alpha Sapphire, whichever one it is.
Right.
I got Moon. I didn't bother with Ultra Moon. And I still enjoy them, but it's just a lot of the heart went out of it for me, because, you know, Swamp Storm and Scarlet are there waiting for me, so
I get it. Yeah, I've had the same. I've had my Luxray. Her name is Nikki Tesla. she's been with me since Platinum. So I've transferred her to, I don't know, every game since then.
Yep, I had I had my female Machamp, Scarlet, who was amazing, like the best set of IVs and EVs. Like, it was just stupidly ridiculous how good Scarlet was for a Machamp. And No Guard and all the good stuff. And that was, and my, I'm trying to, and Sammy, my, Routes evolution into fighting.
So y'all are into nicknaming your Pokemon, huh?
I wasn't initially, but I got into it.
Always. I'd never have a Pokemon without a nickname.
I never really got into it because, you know, growing up, the anime was, of course, like a big thing for a while, right?
And Ash never nicknamed his Pokemon.
He never nicknamed his Pokemon. And so that kind of influenced me. There was only a handful of characters in the anime, right? And none of them ever really nicknamed their Pokemon. I think we get to Ash's rival Richie before we ever see any Pokemon with any nicknames.
Yeah. Well, that's just on brand, so that you know what's what.
Yeah. And, like, I get that. You know, because, like you said, it's, you know, they're trying to brand everything, so you know who's who. Right? And that's cool. Right. I could never get into nicknaming my Pokemon, but I always liked, in the last couple years, I kind of came up with a lot of, like, theme teams. Like, I have, not that I've actually played with, or tested or anything, but just from, like, a general standpoint, there's some fun, like, theme teams I've come up with. Like, I've got an idea for an original, like, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers team.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm actually trying to pull it up. So, while I'm doing that, I'll talk a little bit about, you know, we kind of know, Sky, your favorite Pokemon is Shinx.
Well, Luxray. Luxray. But the Shinx line.
Yeah, the Shinx line. And Lucas, one of yours is of course just fighting types in general, but your Scarlet, your Lady Machamp.
Yep.
Sweet
Machamp
Lady Muscles.
All the way.
Yeah, Sweet Lady Muscles. And so some of my favorites have been, I mentioned Poochyena. Poochyena was a big one for me because it was, like, the first sort of definitive, like, wolf Pokemon that we had.
Yeah.
And I never, it wasn't until, you know, when I got back into it and I realized it was supposed to be a hyena. But hyenas to me are spotted.
Yeah, and a lot more gangly than Mightyena.
Yeah, and it doesn't help the fact that they have, like, yellow eyes. I think that's the other thing that kind of makes
they kind of
look
like prototypical wolves. You know, when you're doodling in class, that's what a wolf looks like.
Yeah. So, Poochyena was a big one for me, and Cyndaquil and Charmander were big ones. Like I loved to death my Cyndaquil, and I was so excited playing through like Gold and Silver, where it was finally like, oh my god, I don't have type disadvantages for like 4 gyms in a row. Praise Arceus.
Like, oh my.
Y'all don't know struggle until you've tried to do Red and Blue with a Charmander as your starter.
Yeah, never had that problem.
Yeah.
Kinda went straight for the turtle because turtles.
But in the last couple years, one of my favorite Pokemon has become Magnemite. There's just something really sciency and cute and derpy about this little floating robot, and I love him. So Magnemite has become my favorite, and you know, when we get into playing, and Scott, you mentioned you're going to be playing. Your character's name is Max, and how is the last name pronounced?
Ordia.
So you're going to be playing Max Ordia, and I'm going to be playing a character, you know, funnily enough, named Tesla Marx. And so, you know, science is cool, everybody.
It's the best.
Yeah, and Nikola Tesla is the best, too.
That dude was way ahead of his time.
He was.
He could have given us free electricity.
I just appreciate the grift that was him paying off dinners with empty boxes full of parts and claiming that there were death rays in them.
Oh, I would have like absolutely that
he accidentally built a doomsday machine and then smashed it to pieces and burned the design because he almost leveled the city block.
Look, oh, man, we all y'all need to read Atomic Robo if you haven't.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good.
But yeah, what he did, he built like this device that worked on like frequency and vibration, and he attached it to like a metal bar in his lab, and he saw that it was waving on the ends, and then he decided, well, let's go fuller scale, and he attached it to the foundations of his building, which translated into earthquake machine. So when the police came because of the crazy mad scientist, they found him smashing it to pieces with a sledgehammer, and his notes were on fire. So he saw the evil in it. He still was curious enough to build it, but he did get rid of it, which I can respect.
Yeah. So getting...
Yeah, no. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, kind of talking about the theme teams, because I finally pulled that up. So we're all familiar with the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, yeah?
Yeah.
Sky?
Yeah, of course.
Of course. We're not savages, right?
My Legacy Green Ranger helmet should be arriving by the 10th, I believe.
Ooh, Mazel Tov. So, I one of the theme teams, to give you an idea, I have a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers theme team. So you have Dragon or Dragonzord. I mean, Tommy, when he morphed, he always said Dragonzord.
Yes.
Which is weird to me. That was always weird to me.
Yes.
It's something I didn't catch until I rewatched Mighty Morphin, but it's like, no, it should just be Dragon. I don't know.
Or even Godzilla, because that's clearly what it is.
Yeah. So we have Dragonzord, that would be a Tyranitar.
Sure.
You have Mastodon, your Black Ranger, that would be Mamoswine.
Mm-hmm.
Pterodactyl, your Pink Ranger, that would, of course, just be an Aerodactyl. Triceratops, that would be an Aggron.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Sabretooth Tiger, your Yellow Ranger. Sky, you'll like this. Luxray.
Nice.
See, a lot of people, like, when they look at that theme team, they're like, well, no, it should be Raikou. And it's like, yeah, well, no, that's a legendary. You're not going to be able to, like, start a game out with a legit legendary and have a good time. So, Luxray is my Yellow Ranger. We've got, for the Red Ranger, Tyrannosaurus! We got Tyrantrum.
Right.
For the White Tiger, we've got Arcanine. Zordon, we got B-He-M. Although I suppose that could also work as Alpha.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. For Rita Repulsa, you got Miss Magius. And then for Finster, you got Stoutland. So that's just like, well, I mean, he's a terrier. So
Yeah.
So that's just like an example of one of the theme teams I did, and I've got like a whole list of them that I just think are it's fun for me to come up with like themed ideas like that.
Yeah, no, totally understand that. So let's just moving along, because, you know, we don't want to spend the entire night. somebody's going to have to probably do cutting and editing on this thing already.
You'd be surprised.
But the question I'd like to pose to either Sky or Bobby, whoever'd like to take this first, what got you into, or have you been into, role-play games before? And what was your experience / what have you done with it before, et cetera, et cetera?
I'm going to let Sky answer that first.
Again, I'm pretty late to the party. Like, I didn't really start playing RPGs, like tabletop versions, until, I don't know, like at the most three years ago. And my first endeavor into it was actually on Pokemon World Tour United. I was a gym leader there. I played Kent. That was my first time playing an RPG, really. And then a couple of months later, a friend, Matt, wanted to do a one-shot on D&D, and I was like, I don't know anything about it, but if you don't mind me asking questions all the whole way, I'd be happy to play with you guys. And they were like, yeah, it's fine. And now I have a group of friends that we play semi-regularly, a bunch of different games. You know, we get together on Sundays, and we play a different game. We have, like, an ongoing superhero RPG based on Worlds in Peril that we're doing. That's a lot of fun. But yeah, I was pretty late to the game, or, you know, late to the party when it came to RPGs. I don't know. It was just something that never really, like, there's never really an opportunity, and nobody else wanted to do it, and I didn't care enough to do it myself. So
it can
never
be
really happen.
It can be hard getting everybody together and schedules lining up to make something like a tabletop game happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's putting it lightly.
Yeah. It's
now as an adult, it's even worse.
Yeah. So I guess to answer the question from me, Pokemon really kind of got me started with role-playing games as far as you can name a character. You can make decisions in the game. And growing up, I got a little bit more into role-playing games. I played, I had Final Fantasy IX for the PlayStation. And I really, really enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun. Look, there was just some big, burly dude with blue skin and long red dreadlocks, and I don't know why I was always kind of attracted to that. There was something about that character that really visually looked cool to me. And
fair enough.
You know, Pokemon kind of set it off, and Final Fantasy kind of got me more into it, and then about freshman year of college, I'd always kind of been familiar with D&D, but never really got into it. About freshman year of college, I got my, you know, my own computer. It's a graduation present. Great, great PC for the time. And one of the first things I got for it was World of Warcraft. A couple of other friends that I worked with at the time were getting into it, and they were like, hey, you should get into this. And get into it, I did. And I really found that I really liked the sort of, I guess, like, traditional fantasy races that you could play. You know, orcs, undead, trolls, basically everything horde-related. the only time I ever played Alliance was if I was playing a gnome or a dwarf, just because I'm not super tall in real life. My heritage...
You don't say.
I do say. My heritage on my mom's side, which is where a lot of my genes come from, more so than my biological dad, is Hungarian. So we, like, our whole family, if you line us all up, we look like modern-day Middle-earth dwarves. Like, just no neck, thick, stocky... Just like, do you want some ale? Let's go mining. You know, just like, yeah, just dirty and stocky and thick. Like, that's our whole lineage, man. So I really always liked playing dwarves and gnomes, and I really got into World of Warcraft. Also, kind of started me into steampunk a lot. Like, I really. Loved a lot of the things you could do in World of Warcraft with the engineering profession. And especially, like, when they introduced goblins and worgen as a playable race. So, I really got into that kind of traditional fantasy aspect of it, but I still hadn't done anything tabletop-wise. I had played, you know, moving on, I had played things like Skyrim and, you know, Fallout, 3 a little bit, and then more so New Vegas, things like BioShock, Borderlands, things that really combined RPGs with other different elements like first-person shooters, that kind of thing. And getting older, I wanted to get into D&D, but again, it was really hard kind of getting everybody to line up. For a while, I was hanging out with some other friends, and they started doing a zombie apocalypse role-playing game. And I got into that for a little bit. I played a luchador named El Tigre Azul.
The Blue Tiger?
The Blue Tiger. I don't know. That just always seemed like a fun idea for me as a luchador.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and so I really liked that. And then we got into, just in the last, 2 years, you know, I became really good friends. Shout out to Carol and Thomas and Ethan. you know, they, I started talking with them because they were really into gaming and tabletop gaming especially. And we started talking about doing a Pokemon tabletop. They, you know, they were all on board because they were all Pokemon fans too. And so that's how Lucas and I got introduced. Because
whenever Carol asks you to do something, good luck telling her no.
Yeah.
She sounds delightful.
She's
so that's not like to indicate that she's forceful or anything. Just imagine the cutie, like when you have a moe blob anime girl that is like 3 feet tall and just has the big eyes and goes, "Won't you please do this for me, please?"
Yeah.
And it's like, oh dear God, stop being so cute.
Yeah, that's what I meant. She did, like, I was serious. She sounds delightful. I have many friends like that who will force me to do things because otherwise I would just stay in my house all day.
Like, her genetics are probably sugar-coated.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, so Lucas started DMing us through a Pokemon tabletop. We were doing, I think we were using the Adventures system.
Mm-hmm.
And really, really enjoyed doing that. And I really wanted to do more of it. And the thing we were running into, and this is something we talked about, and this isn't a knock against anybody, because it is. It's just, it's life, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, it's hard to get everything kind of lined up to where you can make something like that happen, even if it's only one day a month. So, you know, listening to, and I don't want to, I don't say this in any way to draw the comparison or anything, but listening to Jake and Josh and Alan doing their show, which is a great show, you know, I wanted
yeah, that
to
Kent
do.
Guy was really awesome.
Yeah, he was. you know, I wanted to do our own Pokemon tabletop adventure and kind of get back to tabletop gaming, and this I figured would be a really good opportunity to do so.
And which is where my expertise comes in. So, to give you an idea, so, okay. I can officially state that I have been GMing or DMing in some fashion for a decade and a half now.
Yowza.
I started GMing when I was 13 years old.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And for the local group O'Hooligans, of which I was part of.
That sounds like a bar in Middle Earth.
I know, right? And in a couple of cases, against the express wishes of our parents, because, you know, that devil game would meet up at our one friend's garage and all play, and after a few other attempts at GMing from some of the other guys, somehow it ended up being my turn, and somehow it's been my turn for the past 13 years or 15 years. So I just, it became the thing that I do that I'm good at. And I really enjoyed GMing as well as playing, but since there's always a higher demand for GMs over players, that's usually what I end up doing to make things happen. I've branched out into a lot of different systems that I've picked up to play one-shots or whatever feels like a fun time at the moment. I've played 3.0, 3.5, 4E, 5E for D&D, mm-hmm. Pathfinder, soon to be Pathfinder 2 as well, and systems that I am fairly certain nobody in their right mind has ever heard of. Little Fears, Mutants and Masterminds, Big Eyes, Small Mouth, The 13th Hour. So it just keeps going on and on. And so when Bobby asked, would there be anybody who'd be interested in GMing this, I, like the fool I am, jumped at the chance. So, yeah, that's kind of the story on how this nonsense goes.
Right. And just to be clear, you know, this is a unique show that we're going to be doing, and this isn't going to be affiliated with any other Pokemon tabletop podcasts out there. This is something that the three of us are undertaking at more or less our own expense, like Lucas said, like the fools we are. But I think we're gonna have a good time. I think there are gonna be some great opportunities for things like fan art, having people on the show, you know, to maybe guest as characters or what have you.
Or Pokemon. Do not put it past me to assign a guest to be the Pokemon that is going to attempt to kill you all.
I would not. I would not expect anything less. So, I'm really looking forward to this, and I think it's going to be just a lot of fun. And who knows, if we get through this and we get through... you know, say for example, I don't know, maybe we get to the end of the region, maybe we'll do something else. Maybe we'll do some other type of tabletop game or something like that. But we hope that everybody's listening to this, you know, will come to appreciate and join us on our journey as we go through all this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's be real. If given the opportunity, we would all be off on a Pokemon journey and not living our current lives.
Oh, absolutely.
Ooh, yeah.
I do not enjoy taking phone calls for 8 hours a day, believe it or not.
No, I would much rather be on a leaf-winged dinosaur going to some other city to battle a gym leader or something.
Yeah, that sounds nice to me, too.
Yeah.
Let's all take a moment to just wallow in the fact that we live in this world. And not the Pokemon world. It's garbage. We got a raw deal.
This universe sucks.
It does.
So if any of you listeners out there happen to have any way to travel to a parallel dimension, it'd be really nice if you'd let us know.
Just hit us up. Hit us up via email, text, you know, whatever.
But if you're not going to let us do it, don't. Because I don't want to know that it's possible and I can't get there.
Yeah. Don't
That'll
do
just
that.
Be heartbreaking.
Yeah. Don't be
just
a
be cool.
Don't be
just
a dimension be cool. tease. Don't do that. Don't be that guy. So I think we can probably call it a show.
I think so.
I think we can all call it a show. Gentlemen, I hope you've had a good time.
Yeah, this was fun. It was nice to finally talk to you guys in person, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Over the digital divide.
Yes. So let's end the show by plugging where people can find us on the internets. Lucas, where can people find you on the internets?
Well, you can find me at my new Twitter handle, at GMStarSun. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty barren at the moment, but it'll start loading up with all the various games and silliness that I promote and participate in once I actually start using the darn thing.
Very good. Sky, where can people find you on the internets?
Usually on my couch at home. That's where I do most of my interneting. I have a podcast called Pop Culture Failure, where my best friend Jake and I go through something from our youth. Right now, we just started the Animorphs series from Nickelodeon, and it's not good. We previously did Ninja Turtles, Mutation.
Those are fighting words.
When was the last time you watched it? Because it's not like is it the Goonies effect where you saw it as a kid so you like it as an adult?
Okay, I mean, first of all, we are not here to trash the Goonies. That is a great film.
Well, you're not here to do that.
I will defend that movie until I'm dead and then some.
So, Bobby's penchant for terrible movies aside, what was the name of that podcast again?
Pop Culture Failure.
Pop Culture Failure. Anywhere else that we can find you?
Yeah. You can follow that show. We're at Failed Pop Culture with no E at the end. I'm at Sandwich Surplus if you want to follow me personally. I've been on a bunch of other podcasts, usually just as a guest. You can probably scroll through my Twitter feed and find all of those if you need to. Or you can just text me. Or you can just tweet at me. I can tell you where. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty much it.
How about you, Bobby?
Well, everybody can find me on Twitter at SpaceKingBobby. You can follow me on Tumblr at SpaceKingBobbySFW. And Wrestling Time Machine on Tumblr, and Space King Comics on Tumblr. And you can also follow the other podcasts that I do, Nerdfix Strangers at NF Strangers, and Wrestling Time Machine at WTM Podcast. Follow me on there. Again, those are some great shows. I talked about at the beginning what we talk about on those shows. And you can also check out NerdfixStrangers.com. But this show is now a show that I'm doing, Pokemon Mind and Body. So you can follow us on Twitter. We have an actual Twitter. Some of you might have actually already been followed by it because this was all being set up today. You can follow us on Twitter at Pokemon Mind Body. That's just all one word. And you know, you can get in touch with us through there and follow the show. And this is all going to be up on iTunes and Podbean as well, Pokemon Mind and Body. So if you're listening to this, please leave us a review. You can also follow Pokemon Mind and Body on Facebook. But please, if you're listening to it on something like iTunes, leave us a review because that helps our visibility. And we always, we're going to be hungry for that feedback, especially when we first get this off the ground. So we're looking forward to making this a project that everybody can enjoy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Signing off.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Ciao.